I'm joined in the studio by another remarkable community resource who goes by the name Kristen Andrews, who is... excuse me. So yeah, you've Kristen Andrews, of course, is possibly best known as the longtime proprietress of the Rag Pickers Anti-Fashion Emporium. They've moved locations, but they're still alive.
Absolutely. Well, we're transitioning to a new type of model, and people who have known us over the years know that you know, during the birth of the Occupy movement here, I had very much wanted to create a workers' co-op, and anybody who's been around co-ops knows they're an incredible amount of work. And so while that is still in the birthing process, we've gone over to a wholesale model, working on an online store. But the place is it's open by appointment, and it's known these days as the Rag Factory. But you can still find us online, and we still do all the costume rentals and the and vintage pop-up shops now. So yeah, you know, well,
it's great to hear. You know, although I, you know, having that space on McDermott, it was I always remember it as sort of an important center. There's a buzz of activities there. You know, that the loss of the physical location at that space, I think, is kind of a bit of a loss. But you've survived it, and I guess you're looking at new opportunities now.
Always looking at new opportunities. I mean, it's been a long time critical argument in this city, what we do with our space and how we utilize our space. We've got such an interesting housing market and building market, and we have some of the oldest neighborhoods in the you know, in the western end of the country. But you know, we could get on to talking about a lot of that great stuff, because we also have with us Mr. Ed Ackerman this morning too.
Testing 1, 2. I'd like to make a comment about your shop. Your shop used to be retail craziness. Now it's wholesale madness.
Yes, it's true. It's true. Yeah. Before we get into talking too much about my shop, and we have a chance to talk a little bit about neighborhoods and about the upcoming movie that we'll be playing at Cinematheque that tells a bit of the story that anybody who knows Mr. Ackerman knows that he's been involved in now for, gosh, probably about a half a dozen years. Let's play a wake-up song. Can we play
a
wake-up song?
That's a good idea. Sure, sure.
Good morning, everyone. We love radio. This is...
Do you want to just... do you want to give us the sort of... I don't know, introduce the piece that...
Well, this is the Guy Up Rhythm Drummers, and they're a community men's drum orchestra, and people who know me also know that I play with the Flaming Trolleys, another community orchestra, the Flaming Trolleys. But this is the Guy Up Rhythm Drummers with their morning song called Open Up Your Eyes.
What do drummers eat for breakfast?
Beets.
Open up your eyes. why the profit soar? Why the profit soar? Hey, open up your eyes. Open up your eyes. Open up your eyes. Open up your eyes. Open up your mind. Open up your mind. Open up your mind. Open up your mind. No conscience, no conscience, no conscience, Lord. No conscience, no conscience at all.
No conscience, no conscience, no conscience at all. No conscience, no conscience, no conscience at all.
Open up your eyes. Open up your eyes. Open up your eyes. Open up your eyes. Open up your mind. Open up your mind. Open up your mind. Open up your mind.
Yes, yes, we have open minds and we have open eyes and hopefully open ears. CKUW 95.
That was a great piece of music. I think you've woken up our audience now.
Hooray. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So Rob, Kristen, do you you were just talking a little bit earlier. We played that Take Back the Night piece. Mm-hmm. And you thought that was kind of appropriate in terms of how that was about sort of taking back communities for individuals.
Absolutely. There's been a real acceleration within the city and just generally within people's consciousness toward trying to secure our neighborhoods against specifically violence against women and children, but also to look at things like Take Back the Night and the grandmother's walks and these different community-based initiatives that are about creating safe communities, safe neighborhoods. It's about people taking back their streets and about people getting active around affordable housing, safe housing, this sort of thing. And I thought that wanting to talk about our downtown neighborhoods, because though I did retail in the Exchange District for almost 28 years now, I felt it was my community. Mm-hmm. I was going there every day and often spent more time there than I did at my place of residence. So to me, that was home. And it's a really unique thing in our city that the Exchange District is also girdled, if you will, or bordered by some of the oldest neighborhoods like Point Douglas and Centennial and, the area around Central Park. And, as I know you know, Michael, some of the listeners may not know, I did run in two consecutive provincial elections
for the Green Party.
For the Green Party, for the area of the center of Winnipeg, Point Douglas, the Exchange, and Centennial, and that happens to be the area that that Mr. Ackerman was a resident in for a very long time, as was his family. I mean, I first met Ed's mother there, 25 plus years ago. She was living in the very block that that he was working at saving with all of his different
1983.
Properties. Yeah, it's we've got some great neighborhoods in Winnipeg, and I'm thrilled that people are feeling the call to get back out on the streets and raise
their voice.
I'd
say that North Point Douglas is not exactly the seat of political power, except insofar as that can be expressed in the streets. Is that something you would surmise it yourself?
Yes, I would have to surmise that. And the reason why I chose provincial politics is, I guess I had sort of a realization years ago. People might remember that Winnipeg became the place for the largest urban warfare practice exercise to be held in North America, and that was Operation Charging Bison. And the way that our mayor sold out our city streets to be used for that was very quietly and without any public consultation, and it became fourth page news just a few days before it happened. And we saw soldiers with weapons filled with blanks and not any identifying factors for the fact that they were just practice soldiers walking the streets of our downtown near schools, near daycares, near old folks' homes, near residents, and doing a warfare practice. And, you know, that brought a lot of us into the streets who cared yeah. about our neighborhoods and who cared about proper public protocol for things like this. And
yeah, the whole issue of consultation.
Yes, absolutely. And transparency and accountability. I mean, these things, you know, when you start looking into how our city operates, our city is a corporation. Corporations are governed by the province of Manitoba. So I chose to try to get active in provincial politics, feeling that that might be the best way to actually have an influence over the corporation of the city of Winnipeg. Because at the end of the day, it is a corporation, and it should be there working, existing for the benefit of us as the consumers of the city, as the residents, the users of the city. But yeah. As we all know, it's not like that most yeah. days.
That was a very significant event, I think, from the standpoint of local activism. That's where I met you and Ed, I think, for the first time. And a lot of other prominent activists, you know, people who've been actively involved in the city. It really brought a lot of people out, and also, you know, not just people who are, you know, involved in civic activism or neighborhood issues, but also, you know, the anti-war movement. Because I mean, this is right in the midst of the big war on terrorism, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was absolutely a tipping point.
May I say something here? The first newspaper story was December 27th. No one reads the newspaper 2 days after Christmas. That's where Operation Charging Bison was announced. And it was advertised as something to prepare soldiers for Afghanistan fighting, where actually it was about martial law training in mm-hmm. an urban environment. Mm-hmm. People were set up to be posing as Afghanistan militants, but they're dressed like Native people in Winnipeg, and I experienced something on the corner of William and Isabel where there is a Native guy wearing a baseball hat that was being arrested by, I think it was Pick-a-Pop at the time, across from 7-Eleven. He was being arrested by military people with all these assaults in full camouflage, and then they walked him under gunpoint down Alexander Street to
through the neighborhood.
A school on Logan, but this was a Native guy being walked down by military guys. I found out the Native guy was, he was actually a military, a police officer from northern Manitoba, so acting as a downtown Native person.
So these are like simulations of actual scenarios.
Yes,
well, I mean, this was filmed, and there's a video of it. A mm-hmm. friend of mine videoed it. I don't think it's public yet. Could be on a cell phone. This is when Kristen Andrews and I, and maybe yourself, Michael, became persons of interest. And my life has gone downhill from there because of my activism.
And
this is not conspiracy. This is... I think borne out to be true,
yeah.
And it just makes us all stronger because we have to look after our
place. I'll just mm-hmm. Mention it. It's already 8:37, and the temperature is 11 degrees Celsius. You're listening to People of Interest on CKW 95.9 FM. My name is Michael. I'm joined by Ed Ackerman and also Kristen Andrews, who is our pass the mic guest. Should we just go back to a song and then we can continue the conversation with Ed?
Absolutely, yes. Let's hear a song from about 20 years ago. A lot of people think that the 80s and 90s didn't have much for active political music, but this is a really great song, Shaking the Foundations. And listen carefully to the words to it. I think it's every bit as poignant today as it was back then in the 80s.
But you hate the 80s.
That's rough trade. I love rough trade. This is a good song.
Thank you. time has come to go out of your mind.
Go out of your mind with me, Dave Ferguson, every Saturday on The Trip. The best in psychedelic rock, garage rock, and classic rock that the other guys just don't play. Dave Ferguson, 4 to 6 p.m. Saturdays on The Trip.
You have to check that, Ralph. You can't take that on a trip with you.
And you're listening to People of Interest on CKW 95.9 FM. And as I'm told by one of our guests, we truly are people of interest after Operation Charging Bison. My Pass the Mic guest is Kristen Andrews, who's best known as the proprietress of Rag Pickers, also very much involved in roller skating, as I understand it.
Absolutely.
And, of course, an all-around great community figure. And why don't we, maybe I'll pass the mic over to you, and you can engage our other guest.
Yes, thank you so very much, Michael. We love Pass the Mic Week at CKOW. I'm sitting this morning with Ed Ackerman, who is someone that I've known for quite a number of years. We were just talking about Operation Charging Bison and some of the work that we all did then in regards to making our neighborhood safe, working for our community. Ed is actually the subject of a film coming up that will be of great interest to anybody who loves Winnipeg and who loves neighborhoods like Centennial Neighborhood and you know, the kind of activism that goes on in downtown where we have these old buildings and old neighborhoods.
We don't actually know what the movie's about. I haven't seen it.
No,
and
neither have
you.
I. No,
Michael mentioned engagement, and we were a couple, and we were a couple back when this movie was made, and there were three proposals for marriage, and they were turned down.
And they may or may not be in the movie. We don't know.
we are not engaged now. We're not a couple now. We're in a show business partnership. It's really about show and business. Chris and Andrew's business needs to be put back together, and my business and life need to be put back together too right now. So we're joining together to, you know, help promote this movie. I'm not sure what the movie is about, and I will be seeing it for the first time with everyone else. But it is something about, I think it ends in 2010, so it deals with running for the election. It deals with, like, running for mayor, and it deals with, I think, at least the first house being torn down, the Alphabet House. And there is an exclusive on this show right now. All three of my houses have been torn down.
Yes.
And over the summer, my trailer has been stolen, my truck, my two sheds, my piano in my shed, and the Alphabet car mm-hmm. has been stolen.
From your private property.
From the property. And the exclusive today is the car has been found. It's been found at Buck's Auto Parts, and there's a small claims that's just been filed and served yesterday. The police and the RCMP are on this as a case, and we want to put the Alphabet car back together and to finally stand up. It's not exactly taking back the night. It's
taking back your life.
there is some rule of law, and just trying to find out what is left of our legal structure and system. Does private property exist? And
well, it's for people who know the struggle you've been through, Ed, it could very well be argued that you've almost earned a civic law degree in that you've learned an awful lot about how the corporation of the city of Winnipeg has itself structured and governed. You've learned a lot about how the police work within that, and how the laws that oftentimes we think are there to protect us as citizens are sometimes built and designed to work against us. Things like the neighborhood livability bylaw and what that does to neighbors. I think a lot of us have heard stories about this livability bylaw and how it was kind of scuttled into the city very quickly. It's something that's actually still being written. So there's and correct me if I'm wrong, there were some things that were brought as charges against you that involved laws that hadn't even been fully finished yet, so they weren't even entirely appearing on the books. So there's a lot of I think a lot of this might be in the film, but as mentioned, we haven't seen it yet. But what started out as a film about Ed as an animator and his work with language at the National Film Board, and I'm certainly not going to speak for John Paskovich, the filmmaker, but I think that he started out wanting to make an interesting story about kids and animation and language, and then discovered that Ed was in this, monumental business of resurrecting these three houses, and the fight with the city started, and it became a whole other story.
The rule of law is all we have against bullies.
Yes.
And that's for everyone. And as far as the language film, working at the National Film Board, making animation, my son and I, Brandon Ackerman, and I were making a series of films to encourage reading, writing, and performing for children. Now, the thing is, once you learn how to read, to write, and perform, which means act up, what do you do with that in life? Well, there's actually a second part that we all have to do as adults. Once we learn how to read, write, and perform, we need to learn how to read the law and how to write the law and then how to perform legally and perform together as groups of people, individuals that make up society. So what John actually did, I imagine, because I haven't seen the film yet, I imagine what he did was part two of what it means to read, write, and perform. You actually then have to, you've got a big set of things to do the rest of your life. Now, there's one other thing that's involved that's not in the movie, and that's I protected my last house from being destroyed by taking the law into my own hands.
Mm-hmm.
I read the Criminal Code of Canada first. It's a long read, like a Stephen King novel without the plot. I was defending my dwelling house under Section 40 of that law, and I was not able to protect my house even with the law on my side.
Now, Section 40 is defending with whatever means necessary defending your private property?
Defending a dwelling house using as much force as is necessary to repel
that's a basic tenant of
trespassers
our country.
That are there without lawful authority.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened from this, I was convicted, sentenced, and I've now appealed it. And there's an order to take my DNA for the National DNA, the National Bio Data Bank. I've appealed that up to the Manitoba Court of Appeal, and the next step is federal. This is something that we should all worry about. There can be a warrant for my arrest for the police to track me down anywhere in Canada and take my blood. That's a problem. That's against our charter. And what started as just a little thing that your grass is too long with the neighborhood livability bylaw and other bylaws, it goes from that or resisting Operation Charging Bison to there can be a warrant for my arrest to take my blood. There's nothing more private that we have than our own DNA.
No,
you can build things with DNA. Anyway, that's nothing, been quite a travel. Yeah,
nothing worth protecting as much as our right to not be subjected to that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. This could happen to anyone. Anyone who is simply charged with an offense, but not proven to be guilty. So we have a basic assumption of innocence until proven guilty.
I'm going to interrupt. That's not exactly right. You have to be convicted, and it has to be a primary offense. But this DNA data bank started in 2001, and it's private-public partnership, and
right.
This information gets shared across borders. We've got all this NSA stuff happening where, everything is public. That's what it's gotten into. But the problem with all the stuff that's happened with my properties, and maybe your own business, I'm not sure as well. The problem is you've got laws that are in place that are actually unconstitutional, that are actually illegal if you go to the federal level. We don't live in the country of Winnipeg. We live in the country of Canada, and it's those laws that are supreme in our country. And we've got municipal bylaws that are actually unconstitutional. It takes a long time to make sure the laws are correct.
Mm-hmm.
And to read, write, and perform, we actually need to make the laws
correct. We need to read them and write them correctly, and then, you know, obey them and change them if they're hurting people.
Absolutely. Well, and hold the corporation of the city of Winnipeg, accountable to the province who governs corporations to actually go right by the rules.
It'd be nice to make this the city of human rights.
Wouldn't
There's
it?
A building built here.
I was just to jump in a little bit. It sounds as if this whole situation seems to arise out of the architecture of the way our city is incorporated, mm-hmm. literally in within the province, right? And so there's these sorts of schisms that arise that provide these loopholes by which property can be expropriated. I guess that's essentially what you're maintaining, mm-hmm. and you know that's very much at the core of what you're trying to establish. Right. So would the outcome of what you're trying to do at the court level through the law, would that somehow alter the way our city is?
Okay.
Would it result in changes to the charter, or
we're living in a
because it goes beyond just your specific situation?
We're living in a bully town. Winnipeg is a bully town
Keystone
by design.
Cops, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not Keystone Cops. This is actually bully by design because half the province of all of Manitoba and Winnipeg. So it's everything is disproportional. Winnipeg, when it started out, went from a village that was like less than 2,000 people up to 30,000 really quickly. It didn't go like village, hamlet, town to city. It just went from a few people, snap, right to city. So it's got a tremendous amount of powers, more than a lot of regular cities. The amount of power that the corporation of, it's the charter of Winnipeg Act, which is a provincial charter. There's so much power invested in the city of Winnipeg. That is the problem. Now, we keep talking about corporation. I've got some ideas. I've got lots of ideas. It'd be nice to take the Bay building and make it as a cooperative owned by everyone in the city of Winnipeg, to run the building itself as a cooperative. There'd be a lot of fighting. Co-ops have some trouble. If we could do that with one building, maybe we could do that with the city, and instead of the corporation of the city of Winnipeg, we could make it the cooperative of the city of Winnipeg.
And there you
that
go.
Would change the structure.
That would change everything. Gosh, we don't have a lot of time left. And this seems like one of those conversations that could go on for hours, for days, for months. It's certainly been the conversation that has become your life these last bunch of years. And it should be very interesting for Winnipeg to have this film come to Cinematheque. It won some awards at the Toronto Hot Docs. It's having its Winnipeg premiere here, kind of quietly. Mm. Opens October 17th and runs to the 19th at 7 o'clock every night at Cinematheque. And then it's Sunday the 20th at 2 p.m. And then one last showing October 23rd at 7 p.m. Now, we've had some conversations about trying to see if there's a... another way we can, you know, have some Q&A around the film and possibly even another kind of a viewing.
I want to put the car back together. I'd like to drive the Alvet car to the premiere, and I'm going to be asking the public, anyone that can help put the pieces back to the car. It's got an engine, it's got a transmission, it's got a drive shaft and axles, and at front and back license plates, so it's still stolen property, and it's on Dr. Hook's lot right now. But we need to put things back together, like the carburetor, the battery, the starting motor, the distributor, the air filter, the grill, the headlights. And it needs to be safety, and we need just got about a week to put it back together.
And we know, thankfully, to things like social media and Facebook, where we sort of first put the call out about the car being stolen, and like almost instantly the news of where the car had been seen, and we were able to go and find it and then inform the RCMP about how to help us solve the case for the Winnipeg police to get it back. You know, people have been really good through Facebook and through social media with offering just the verbal support, but yeah, we're looking for people to actually offer up any more information they might have about that, and to come and see the film and to continue with this dialogue. So I mean,
maybe we could sell tickets to the movie and that will help pay for the car being put back together. I don't know. Or maybe people could share collectively on the outcome of the court case. The city is in, well, there's a trial. The city is in contempt of court for demolishing the Alphabet House against a court order, and there's a trial November 15th. Mm-hmm. That's a half-day trial, and it's not us against the city, it's the city against the court. So mm-hmm. this is a contempt of court trial, and I just want things to be okay, and I grew up in this town and would like to make it a good town for my family.
Yeah, it's of deep civic interest. Absolutely.
We can do it and put your business back together. But art's in business, and we need to make some sort of party or event or a social, or maybe we just need to have a wake. Have a wake for all the different businesses that have been shut down. And there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
We can start listing them, but maybe instead of having a funeral for... I don't know, the High Low Pub, the Royal Albert, instead of having funeral, maybe we should have a wake for each one, because wakes are positive, and they're fun to have, and you're not dead yet at a wake. It's celebrating the living, and maybe we should have some sort of zombie celebration for the living.
Well,
in October, and Halloween's coming up, you know.
Yeah, from shaking the foundations, we go back to trying to build our city again. So, you know, community radio helps build city. I'm thankful today for that CKUW had the Pass the Mic event, and that Michael thought to invite us both here. So, you know, and thank you to everyone who opened up their ears, opened up their mind, and hopefully got a little bit of inspiration from this dialogue.
Well, about charging bison, what we should do is saddle up the bisons and, you know, ride the bisons, or, you know,
ride off into the sunset. Hey, let's hear
ride
that
the scoundrels out of town.
Let's hear that Patrick Keenan song, Ride Off Into the Sunset, and just end with a little note of local music,
because that's how long this interview has been, and it's like time to go to bed now. The day is over.
Into the sunrise.
Okay, thanks a lot, Kristen and Ed, and I think we're gonna have to close it there, but so we'll play that music for you now, Patrick Keenan. And People of Interest, again, is heard Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 8 till 9 a.m. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, email us at cqwnews@rocketmail.com or voicemail message 204-786-9782. And join us again next week. I've been Michael Welch for Skelton Muskiki, and Pass the Mic guest, Kristen Andrews, and her guest, Ed Ackerman. See you again next week.
Yeah, but hold on, better hold on to the banister tight, 'cause everything's gonna be alright. Honey, everything's gonna be alright. Don't look that way.